According to a study published in the American Academy of Pediatrics, less work and more play helps a child to learn, develop socially, and promotes better health. Researchers also reported that curbing free time at school robs youngsters of needed exercise, leads to unruly classrooms, and ultimately the tragedy of listening to...
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Hero.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Costumeless Teenage Halloweener.
Mr. Costumeless Teenage Halloweener.
You're too old for costumes, but too young to resist free candy. So you don a hooded sweatshirt, grab an empty pillowcase, and start ringing doorbells at 9:30 p.m.
And you don't even say trick.
You've got us by the short hairs, Mr. Costumeless Teenage Halloweener. Because if you don't get a Snickers bar, we'll get a dozen eggs smashed against our final sighting.
You're a little extortionist.
And don't even think about smashing our pumpkins.
Where do you live anyway? Yeah.
So the next time you're power washing pumpkin pieces off your car because you said no to four pimply thugs in street clothes, raise your hose in salute to Mr. Costumeless Teenage Halloweener, a real American hero.
Mr. Costumeless Teenage Halloweener.
I swear if I catch these little creeps, they're dead.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
I am back from the weekend, Sherry.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Monday, October 19th. You look like you're ready to go. You've got a whole week ahead of you.
I do. Monday has now become my new favorite day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it used to be Sunday.
Oh.
But now I work Sunday, so yeah. I'm very adaptable.
I see.
So now Monday is the new favorite day of the week.
I see. Yes. Okay, why is that your Friday now?
Yes. Well, I guess it's my Saturday.
Oh, whatever.
I mean, I don't have to work. It's like my day off from the restaurant, so now I get to go and do all those things that people do on Sundays.
I see. Okay, so your Sunday is like a Friday.
Correct.
Sunday is the new Friday.
Ow. Oh, yes. Sunday's Friday. Fridays. Don't you like I always say, like, accept every part of your life, and now I'm, like, making days different than what they really are.
Yeah, I suppose. No, actually, no, I didn't think about that.
Well, you don't think...
I just spent any time thinking about that.
You don't think about anything I say, which is why I've had no impact on your life so far. But I don't give up. I don't give up. But you look really happy, rejuvenated, refreshed. And
thank you. I do?
Well, I just read that on your stand.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to make you
so
think
that
it works.
So it's not really that I look it. It's just I sound it.
No, I just read it.
You just believe what I say.
I'm trying to manifest that for you.
Yeah. Well, first, how was your weekend?
No, I want to talk about yours.
What?
Well, because you know my stories go on and on and on, and we'll never get to yours.
That's okay. We've got 2 hours to kill. Okay,
let's flip a coin.
Okay. All right. Well, we decided, my wife and I, that we're going to go out of town.
Uh-huh.
And finally, we managed to work it out. So we decided to go to San Diego and stuff. So,
sand?
Yeah, San Diego.
That's cute.
It shows you what a state of mind I was. I was overly relaxed.
Yeah, you're like just beaches, everything around me. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, I started to write poems and shit. That's how much inspiration I got.
Well, but you know what? It's because you're like near the ocean. Anytime you're like surrounded by nature, like how can you not be inspired?
I know.
I'm surprised you don't write poetry sitting across from me every day.
I leave that to you.
Oh, I can't write poetry.
No.
I've tried. No, but like things that I write, like I don't know how to know what metaphors really are like. So I write things like, can Drano suck out the dirt and hurt in my heart like it does in my tub?
Well, that's not a metaphor. That's just stupid.
Oh, my God. I thought you were refreshed.
Drano? What kind of a poem is that?
That's my point. I don't write poetry. And so I always think, well, what do poets do? They compare things. So right. I was thinking about, you know, like how your heart's filled with like muck and dirt. And then I thought about, what else is muck and dirt? And I'm like, well, I guess your bathroom. And how do you clean it with drain? Like, this is the way my brain works. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. So I don't write good poetry is my point, as you can see.
I see. Okay.
Yours was pretty good, though. I liked it.
You did,
the imagery.
Huh?
No, I did. Yeah. The imagery. I just didn't want to talk to you all weekend long. I wanted you to miss me a little bit.
I did. But it wasn't really a poem. I just think it's a result of me reading so much lately.
You know what they sounded like? They sound like haikus a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what I got. Because each one that you wrote, they were very similar in style. Like the way, like.
Really?
Yeah, no. Like they're.
Haiku? What's that?
Really? Yeah. You're gonna ask me? I did haikus.
It just sounded good, right?
No, I did haikus like in sixth grade. And I won some contests. But sixth grade was a long time ago. No, but there's a certain like iambic pentameter, or is that Shakespeare? There's a certain like rhythm to haikus, and they end a certain way, and there's like, I think there's like four lines or something like that.
Yeah.
So it just sounded okay. Yeah. It sounded like some sort of poem.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I do write even emails, I have to make sure there's spacing.
I know.
It's like I reread it twice, three times. It's like, should I add that word over here? You know?
Do you really do that?
Yeah, I do.
I thought it comes naturally to you.
No, it does. I mean, usually I don't have to edit anything.
Yeah, because you're so perfect.
Yeah.
Wow.
But no, sometimes, I mean, you have to worry about the tone of the email, too. You know, sometimes if you add one word or change one word, it changes the whole tone.
That's true. That's true. That's why I put smiley faces after everything. Yeah. So no matter what I write, it seems friendly. Don't want to offend anybody.
I'm not responsible for anything I say. That might be offensive.
Because there's a smiley. It's not offensive. Okay, so you went down to San Diego.
Yeah, so the most eventful thing was taking an hour just to get out of town here.
Why do you always say stuff when I'm drinking?
An hour to get the fuck out of town.
That's actually not so bad.
Why?
Because San Diego's further than that.
Well, of course. I'm just saying to get out of L.A., it takes an hour.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you meant down to San Diego.
No.
I was like, that's really fast.
No. It normally should take 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It took three.
Oof.
Yeah.
I know. You were having a good time in the car.
I was having a great time.
Were you driving or was your wife?
I let her drive, so I didn't have to deal with it.
So you were reading?
And no, I wasn't reading. In fact, you said not to take a book. I took two. Uh-huh. Never picked them up once.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you see? I was busy enough.
Tell your wife to send me a gift.
Well, I was really thinking, you know, it's like, it wasn't a conscious thing. It just said I never got around to it.
Yeah.
You know, I preferred just to look at the scenery and stuff, get involved in stuff.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. The only thing I wanted to do is go boating. Every time we go there, I want to do that, like take a speedboat.
Oh, that's
but,
so fun.
I know. But my wife, I think, has a problem with motion. But she said, no, we'll go. I know you really want to do it, right? So, but no, I felt for her. And I was being a little selfish. I was thinking, if she gets sick in the middle, this is going to ruin my whole thing.
So, did you do it or not?
No, so we didn't do it.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, you could have each had like your own little private time, I guess. And you could have gone on a boat and you could have given her a massage.
No, I mean, I'm sure that we could have done that, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to go by myself. You know?
Aww.
Yeah, it's not the same. I mean, you go on a boat, you want to share it, you know?
I do.
Sharing.
You could have called me up. I would have gone. I haven't been on a boat since I was little.
Really?
I mean, I used to go on cruise ships, but I mean, I always want to go on a sailboat and just sit out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
But then, well, I couldn't be with anyone I liked because then I'd have to wear a bathing suit and then that would cause a problem. So I can just... I'd have to go out in the middle of the winter.
I like how your mind works. She's already thinking ahead.
I know, just being silly. So what'd you guys do?
So, well, we just stayed around the hotel. I didn't really want to go anywhere and stuff.
You had a suite.
Yeah.
Fancy.
So, yeah, but you know what? I mean, the nice thing was that it was just on the water, you know, but it wasn't... Yeah, I mean, it was a really nice place, you know, for sure. But not like a suite like you might imagine or anything.
No,
it just has like an extra room and stuff, you know.
That's a suite.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
But I didn't really use it.
I know, but it's
nice.
Because
the way it was laid out, it's like like they totally separated it like from the bedroom. You know how sometimes it's just kind of part of it, you know?
Like so it's like a separate room.
Or something. Yeah. But it was divided in two sides of the suite, and I thought, we're not going to use that side at all, you know? I mean, it's just kind of like...
So you wanted to talk to the designer and have them redo it for you?
No. I just paid for an extra room that I didn't need.
But see, most people would find like that part like a nicer suite that you have a separate room, you know?
No, it's just, but the way it was laid out, it's not really the way I wanted it. You know, I mean, I've been in suites before, and they could have...
Designed it better.
Yeah. Rearranged it a little.
This is my point. Thank you for proving my point. You want them to redesign it. Okay, it just took about an hour to get to that point. Sam wants to control everything.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. And then I go around preaching to everyone not to try to control anything. Because life is bigger than us.
Right. But I did like returning back from wherever I was and seeing your post about life is great and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice I just put a smiley face?
You put a smiley face.
Because it made me happy. Yeah. But I didn't want to be like, I told you so. Even though I know you already know, like, life is good.
Yeah.
I know that.
No, I really enjoy life. You know, I just bitch a lot. But yeah. So what? You know, I like things to be better.
Things can always be better, I guess. Yeah.
I feel so helpless in the traffic, you know? I mean, you know you've got a two-hour drive ahead of you, and you're going bumper to bumper.
Yeah. You know? No, I've told you that's the one thing always still to this day that I'm impatient with is traffic.
Yeah,
I have the same problem. I get a little uptight in the car. But even when I drive to work now, I always try to tell myself before I start, I'm like, it's just part of your day, Sherry.
Yeah.
You know, I put my music in, but I still sit there like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You can drive.
Yeah.
Like I was driving I posted about this because it really frustrates me that there's a fast lane and then you have people that are going like under the speed limit and then I start riding up behind them pretty close.
Right.
And then they get mad at me and press on their brakes. And I'm like, hello, you're in the wrong lane. Like, I'm trying to move. And then I finally get around, and this guy was trying to block me. Like, I almost, if I had a gun, I wouldn't have shot him. But
you see, that's terrible. When you start getting into road rage, that's dangerous shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done some crazy shit in my life because of road rage.
Mm-hmm. No, people, you know what I do instead?
Mm.
I text Facebook status updates. Yeah. I was literally right behind the car. He was going like 50, and like the speed limit was 65 or 70, which I go 80.
Right.
And I'm like going 50 and I'm like texting about how slow this car is going. And then I'm like, I don't know how good this is. You're like, I thought about you. I'm like, texting on the freeway.
Yeah. I know. It's so distracting. Sometimes I get a call, you know, if I'm not in my car, then I don't have my Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like drive and then somebody's calling and I'm trying to see who that is.
Uh-huh.
It's so fucking dangerous, man.
Well, why do you have your phone attached to you while you're driving?
I always have it attached
to me. No, but you should take it off of you so you're not like doing all that. Put it in a place where it's easy access.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't hear it if it rings because I always keep it on vibrate.
You have an ear on your hip?
No, I have a vibration.
Okay. I didn't really get that. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know what I always wondered with the whole like texting law and getting a ticket for it, you know how you can, but what happens if like someone, you're looking at your phone because someone's calling you, or you're not allowed to look at your phone and then a cop thinks you're texting?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, even looking at your phone is distracting.
Well, I keep thinking about this as an excuse, like when I get stopped by a cop because I text all the time.
Yeah.
And so I keep thinking if I get a ticket, God forbid, like what do I say? I'm going to say, oh, someone was calling me. I just looked at my phone, or I was making the phone call out, you know?
Right.
Do you think that would work?
But you're not supposed to talk on the phone either.
Well, no, I have Bluetooth. Yeah, but how do you call?
Oh, I see.
You have to actually touch your phone.
That's right. You don't have the voice activation that I do.
Well, I do. I just don't use it. But the cop doesn't have to know that. I'm not trying to get like how to do it. I'm trying to figure out how do I do it to deceive the law.
I know, and not get caught.
Right. Because eventually, and I know, and I don't want it, I can't not text.
Yes, you can. Not while you're driving.
Once again, I can't not text. It's really difficult.
Okay.
Because I don't like talking on the telephone.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk.
I
talk so much in my everyday life that I'd rather just, you know.
I know. I never liked talking on the phone. I used to be a telephone operator when I was like 20 years old.
Really? Yeah. Like you'd be...
You dial zero.
You were that guy? Yeah. What would you say? How do you answer the phone?
Hi, this is the operator. May I help you?
I don't know. I find that so amusing. Did you have like the little thing across your head?
No, I did that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like a little microphone. Yeah, headset.
Yeah.
I got one of those before like cordless phones kind of came out, like you attached it to your phone.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was so cool. I was like such a dork, like in junior high, and I'm like, I've got a headset in my room. So silly.
Yeah.
Did you like that job?
Yeah. No, I hated it.
Because you had a dog to people.
You had like split shifts and stuff. So you work from 8 to 12. Then you have to come back at 4 and work till 8. So that sucks. You know, it takes up your whole day.
But you worked. Worked from an office, obviously.
It was like this huge room. Mm-hmm. I was in Vegas at the time. This was in Las Vegas. We had to deal with a lot of stupid tourists and shit, too. But no, at the time, it was probably like a great job because it was like we were four guys and 400 women.
You'd love, and you're in Vegas.
Yeah.
Sounds like a dream job.
And I loved it, yeah.
Yeah, were you married at the time?
No. I was single. I was 20 years old.
Oh, yeah. How long did you live in Vegas for?
5 years. From 76 till about 81.
I was just born around then.
Really?
Well, in 74.
Yeah.
Did you like it there?
At the time, yeah. During the 70s, it was the best place ever. Have you ever seen the movie Dazed and Confused? By any chance?
I think I was dazed and confused when I saw it.
Probably, yeah. But that's what life was like. Okay. You know, I mean, we'd cruise up and down the strip and picking up girls and stuff, you know, going to parties.
Drinking, drugs, sex.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Everybody
like
had their
weekend.
Chevy vans with the water beds in the back and stuff, you know. 8-track stereo.
Water beds. You guys are so corny.
Yeah. It was the best. Are you kidding? Everybody had to have one.
In their van?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you had your own van with a water bed?
No, I actually didn't have a van.
You borrowed your friends.
But some friends had some. Yeah.
Like, I need to use your van for the night.
Yeah.
You like open up the back doors and there's like music going.
Yeah,
like, oh
there you
God.
Go. Yeah, that's exactly what
wow.
it was.
Wow. That reminds me of, I went to this guy. Okay, so one of my old managers set me up with her husband's best friend, and they own like a restaurant together.
Right.
And so we went, he told me, he's like, come over to the restaurant, it's after hours, you know, and have, you know, a drink here. And I was like, okay. So I went there, and we're having like a cocktail, and he's like, come back here with me. And I'm like, okay. So I walk with him, and he like, opens up, and this isn't a restaurant, he opens up this back door, like this room, and
hang on a second, because I'm dying to sneeze.
So I have to stop talking?
Yeah,
so
okay, go ahead.
No, let's all be quiet and listen to you.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to sneeze over.
Stop talking, I have to sneeze.
No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
so
I'm waiting
until
you
back.
Sneeze.
If you want to come back, right?
Yeah, no, he didn't. Well, he just said, come with me. And so I went to the back with him, the back of the restaurant, and he opens up this door, and I don't know where I'm going. And this is a restaurant, and I go back in there, and there's a bed, and like this like Cuban cigar box, and like the stereo, and all this stuff. And I was just like, oh, and then he's Middle Eastern. And I was just like, this is such a stereotype. And I looked at him, and I was like, are you serious? Because I had not hooked up with him at this point or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, it just like leads me into this back room, and that's just what it reminds me of. Like, you're telling me with this van with the water bed. Like, if I was a woman, and I just get like taken to this, and there's like bed, and it might as well have been like a quarter machine, and the bed vibrating.
There you go,
you know?
Yeah.
Although I did end up having sex with them back there.
We'd party in these vans, man. That was something.
Yeah.
You know?
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah. There was nothing you couldn't do in the 70s, you know?
Yeah.
You wouldn't know, but I'm telling you.
I was watching Porky's in the 70s.
Yeah.
It's about it. I was like living through the movies. Living through the movies.
You were just born in the 70s,
74.
Actually. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was a couple of years old when you went to Vegas.
Yeah.
When you were becoming a dirty whore.
Yeah.
I was being born a dirty hurry, or you were becoming one.
Yeah. Who knew?
Who knew? And then the years later, we reunite.
Yeah.
Whore in training, and I don't know.
I know. You've become a whore over the years, and now you have to tell the world about it.
I'm bringing down my whoreness. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I want to finish hearing about San Diego.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it was pretty uneventful. You know, I mean, it was like a romantic time. It was actually pretty cool. You know,
you have like sex in every room.
Yeah.
So I really want to know this. I'm going to get embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's like
my wife's going to kill me if I talk about
sex. Okay. We won't. I'll respect your wife.
Yeah. Some lines I really can't cross.
Yeah.
You know?
No. I never knew. Now I know.
Yeah.
I kind of felt that, but I was like, I'll just try.
Yeah. but we did. I mean, we did, you know.
I shouldn't talk about it, but we did.
Yeah.
Did you put a wig on her?
Now, why would I want to do that?
Because you talked about, like, having sex with different women when you're married. Trying to make her different women for you. One minute she's Lupita. Another moment she's, well, I don't want to say Shahi, because then it's me. I don't want that.
Shahi?
Shahi. I'm going to make them different nationalities.
Like, you were trying to say it in French, with
a
French accent.
But I couldn't think of another French name.
No,
so
it sounded like an Arabic.
Fuck you. That's actually the one accent as an actress that I cannot do is French.
Yeah.
It's like the worst. Like, and that's the only reason why I use that name is, yeah. And even my name I can't do correctly. Damn it. It was just that part that you thought it sounded
there's
Arabic.
No, it's the, it's mon chéri. But of course.
He sounded like from The Little Mermaid. Remind me not to take accent lessons from you.
Yeah, like you do it better, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chechi.
This must be fun to listen to. Just laugh. Wow, thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
So I get a letter from my aunt.
Yeah. Wait, I'm not done with San Diego.
Told you, don't get me started. A second ago, you were like, it was uneventful. Okay, yeah. So I was cutting you off.
No, but the cool thing was sitting on the balcony, and the whole marina is right there, mm-hmm. You know, all the birds and everything. And I'm saying, why are you laughing?
Sorry. We just keep, I'm not done with San Diego. I love it. Sorry, go ahead.
So I'm sitting there at night and really enjoying the view and everything, and it's all misty, you know, and hazy. Just really, really nice
poetic.
And cool, poetic, quiet. And so then, you know, and that was like kind of like just, you know, like dew coming down and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't rain or anything, you know, but then I felt like a drop on my leg and stuff. So I just kind of went to wipe it, right? I thought, you know, here's a drop of rain. And I'm looking at my hand, fucking birch.
It's good luck. It's
yeah,
good
right.
Luck.
You know why they say that? To make you feel good.
I know, because yeah. You just got shat on.
I know. I'm like, what fucking bird is flying at 12 o'clock at night over?
It must have been some annoying positive person that was like, birch, it's good luck.
I know, you know. And I mean, and there is cover over the balcony. It's just like my knee was sticking out and right there.
I've had a bird shit on my head before.
Really?
Yes,
oh,
like,
disgusting.
And it was in camp. I know. That's really funny, though. I feel like it's a Jewish thing.
Is it?
I mean, no. I feel like it's like Jewish people always say it's good luck. No, the people that tell you it's good luck. They had to find something in life.
Yeah,
everything goes so bad for them.
I know. Like, oh, you get just shat on by a bird. Well, it's good luck.
It's good luck.
Yeah.
Are we done with San Diego now?
No, so I was gonna vomit. I can't handle.
Did it really make you
like
that sick?
Yeah.
What did you? So you wiped it with
made
your hand
me, like,
first?
Gross.
You're so funny. Did you like go and cry to your wife?
No, I didn't. But I was irritated. It disturbed my peace.
I bet you if we stay long enough on this story, I'm going to hear about so many irritations you had while you were on your peaceful getaway. First traffic, now the bird shat. What else?
Yeah.
Seals. Oh, I heard you.
Yeah, we heard the seals. I didn't see any.
Do
but,
they sound like...
No, I don't know. How to, yeah. You don't have to demonstrate it.
It's the only way I can, like, get the seal inside me so I can channel the seal.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. With their hands, too. Clapping your hands together.
Isn't that what they do?
Yeah.
Are they paws? What are they called? Flippers.
Flippers?
Yeah, I think so. Just like I was just in a quiz right now. Flippers! I knew the answer.
Yeah, so anyway, so the seals were there, and it was just really nice.
Yeah.
You know, great place.
How long did it take you to get home?
Well, we took the long way home, and we stopped in San Clemente. Have you ever been there?
No.
It's like the nicest piece of beach you've ever seen, you know? I mean, there's only like a few hotels, you cross the street, and there's the beach right there.
How far
is
that from San Diego?
Like an hour, maybe. It's sort of like midway.
Oh, so on the way here.
Here, yeah.
Okay.
On the way back.
Nice.
We drove on Pacific Coast.
Oh, I love that.
A lot nicer.
I took that to San Francisco the whole way, Pacific Coast. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like
that takes
drive.
A long time to get there.
It did, but it was the most beautiful drive ever.
Isn't
and
it?
And I came up with some really good pictures. Like,
yeah.
And I wasn't a photographer at the time. I just was so inspired, you know?
I see.
And I got some awesome pictures.
And you're a photographer now?
No.
Oh. Well, that's what it sounded like.
What did I say?
I wasn't a photographer then.
Yes, I'm anything I want to be. I'm a photographer when I'm inspired. Fuck you. God.
No, that's what you said.
I know. Okay. I know. But you're just calling me out on it. Now I know how annoying I am when I point out everything.
Oh, wow. So we won't get into your weekend for a few minutes, okay? Because we're going to have to call the guest. I don't want to interrupt you in the middle.
Really?
Unless your weekend was really quick.
Our guest can't wait for me? No, I don't have a quick story. I don't have a quick story. Come on.
No quick
story?
Let's
be real now. Now, everything.
Okay, so how was...
That could be that quick.
Yeah.
Well, I looked at the time. How was what?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I worked.
Where do we want to start?
No. I don't have that much to say. I just have a really funny moment that happened to me. That's such a Sherry moment.
Really?
So I met up with a Buddhist.
Buddhist, okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's
name
the guy you're dating now.
Are we dating? We've hung out a couple of times.
Oh, okay, excuse me. I don't know the difference.
I don't either. Because we're just taking it day by day. But we went for coffee, right? And up to this point, he knows about my whole body problem because he's listened to the show, and
right.
He knows the kind of things I like because he listens to the show, and so he's forming his own opinion of me after the show. So I'm trying to steer away from that. But anyway, we just have coffee, and we're on the corner. We're outside of the coffee place. I'm going back to my car, and we hug.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're hugging, he's holding my body, and in this moment, I'm looking over his shoulder, and I'm thinking, okay, Sherry, breathe, because he's touching it, because now he's aware of it. So he's right. Joking, going, does this bother you? Does this bother you? Just being silly. And I'm okay, Sherry, you got to let this go. And as I'm sticking my stomach in and trying to pull in all parts of my body, and I'm you really have to let this go. And then I finally decided, all right, just let it go. He either likes you or he doesn't. Uh-huh. As we're hugging, I'm looking over his shoulder, and there's this big billboard that says, 1-800, get slim. And I just started dying laughing. I was you gotta fucking be kidding me. Here I am, trying to so let it go and just be and I'm staring at a thing that's telling me to get skinny. I'm fuck you. And then I start laughing. He's what? And I go, turn around. He's what? And he looks, and we both just start dying laughing. I'm I cannot fucking escape this shit.
Whoa.
For the life of me. It was really funny.
Yeah.
It was so just God being ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Out of all billboards in all of LA that we're standing in front of.
I know. Well.
So,
maybe it's God telling
you. Yeah, I think I got the message. 1-800. I got the message loud and clear in 20 feet letters, foot letters.
Yeah, but that's interesting. I mean, so you sort of at first you were nervous, and then you sort of just let it go?
Well, I mean, we talked about it over coffee and stuff, because
right.
Of course he hears this, and he's I wouldn't be out with you if I didn't, find you attractive type thing,
Right.
And I was I know.
He's already planning to get into your pants.
Oh, he told me.
Yeah.
Well, because 5 years ago, we were so, playing games, you know
right.
what I mean? And so, now it's he got out of a marriage where there wasn't, enough sex, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And I am trying to, whatever, I don't even know what I'm trying to do. I can't even, describe myself in one sentence. But we're just being really honest with each other, And he was I don't think I talk to women the way I speak to you. And I'm you mean a dirty whore? No, he's I want to have sex with you. Yes, I do. He's but it's not that important, what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have to. We could just hang out and nothing ever happened between us.
Right. Yeah,
so,
right.
I know.
Until you drink.
No. He's not letting me drink.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is going to be a problem. Because
yeah.
I said to him, I was well, I didn't say I'm never drinking again. I said, I just can't drink to be intimate, but, having a glass of wine, I can't go a whole whatever. Not that this is a relationship, we're just hanging out, but I can't go yeah. without ever drinking again. That's silly.
Yeah.
That's just silly talk.
Yeah. Okay, so you're not compatible because of your drinking.
No, I wouldn't say that. We had a very nice time. There's definitely chemistry. He gave me a kiss goodbye. And
what kind of a kiss was that?
What do you mean, what kind of a kiss?
I don't know.
The one with lips? No, sweet. It was all just, it was nice. But, I'm, got my little soulmate affair going on the roof. So, mm-hmm. I felt it was very funny. We had a conversation. I felt I was defending because he hears the show. And so there's I'm going to talk about this invisible person I'm dating and him. And then remember how I told you people are popping up in my life?
Mm-hmm.
I dated this guy probably last year sometime, not for very long. And we had an amicable goodbye type thing. And he's not listening to the show. And he just called me yesterday and, said, it's funny how when people get older, they realize how great I really was. But he told me, he was just I know we had our issues. This was we had an hour long conversation. And he said, I just realized, I always knew what a great person you were, Sherry. He was but I was just in a different place. And I'm not in that place anymore where I like
yeah.
this guy anymore. He turned me off at this point or whatever, but it's very weird.
Yeah.
Remember when I started here, there was nobody
right.
in my life.
Didn't
I
tell
all.
You? I told you, within a couple of weeks, people would be taking numbers, standing in line for you.
Well, do you think maybe you could put this out about money now? There's going to be millions coming my way.
There are. Pick a rich guy. That's the quickest way.
I don't meet rich men ever.
No?
Ever.
Well,
ever.
Well, you got to hang out in different places. What can
no, I guess because it's not top priority.
Yeah.
I know
I
we're calling guests.
Not. Yeah, we're going to call the guest. She sees I'm not paying attention to her anymore.
Well, I see you distract. I'm like, he's not listening to me.
Okay, we're calling William Mann, and his book is How to Be a Movie Star. This is about Elizabeth Taylor, folks. And, you know.
It's quite an intro we gave.
Yeah, I know. I didn't take any time. William.
Hello.
Good morning, William. This is Sam and Cherry calling you from L.A. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. Morning. Yeah, we're doing great. Where are we calling you? What part of the country are you in?
I'm in Connecticut, right outside of New York.
Oh, very nice. Is it cold there today?
Oh, it's chilly, but it's not as cold. I was just in Los Angeles myself this past weekend, so it's an adjustment, but it's not yeah. quite as cold as it has been.
I see. Okay, wonderful. So what were you doing here? Were you promoting the new book?
Yes, I did. I did a talk at Book Soup. I'm going to be coming back next month, so it's going to go on for a while.
Wow.
Cool.
Wow. Do you have a date when you'll be back here?
I don't have the absolute dates yet, no. But
okay. Let us know. You know, we'll
okay.
put it out on the air, of course.
Absolutely. Oh, terrific. I will definitely keep you posted, sure.
Yeah. Great. So, I mean, have you lived in L.A. before, or is it just to promote?
I have a house in Palm Springs.
I see.
Nice.
Okay. I guess you had to
and
be
so
close.
So I do a lot of work in Los Angeles.
I see. I figured you'd have to be close here to write about Elizabeth Taylor. Obviously, a lot of people live here that know her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Being out in Palm Springs did allow me to get to all of the places and people I needed to do, but I do live half the year out here on the East Coast as well.
I see. Wow, that's nice.
That's quite Palm Springs and, like, the Northeast.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
You sure know how to live.
It's a good balance.
Yeah.
I think so.
So, you wrote the book, How to Be a Movie Star, Elizabeth Taylor in Hollywood, and how did this book come about? How did you become so interested in her?
Well, you know, I've always loved movies, and I've loved the idea of movie stars and what they've meant to the culture. And when I finished up my book on Katharine Hepburn, which came out a few years ago, which was also kind of a look not just at her life, but also at how her public legend became such an American institution, my editor said to me, let's continue in this vein. Let's look at some other examples of fame. And he said, what better one than Elizabeth Taylor? My first reaction was, wait, there have been already too many books about Elizabeth. What can we do that's different? He said to me, what if we called it How to Be a Movie Star? And then a light went off in my head, and I said, okay, there's a book I can write. There's a story I can tell. Because I get behind the scenes, and I look at how she did it, how she actually became this quintessential movie star.
Right. So you're focusing more on her career, but obviously, you know, a lot of her personal life sort of like, you know, there was a blurry line, I think, between her private and personal and public life.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, in many ways, Elizabeth Taylor was the first to institute that. We you know, that kind of interest in the private life and the private life becoming as important as the film work.
Yeah.
Before Elizabeth Taylor, the paparazzi were kind of this small group of Italian photographers. After she and Richard Burton made Cleopatra in Rome, they kind of became the paparazzi became a global phenomenon.
Right. Now, you know what I found fascinating is at least a couple times that I'm aware of where she actually stole a man from another woman, like a co-star. I mean, it was with Richard Burton and also with Eddie Fisher. Do you think that she felt also, I mean, I know a lot of people think of her as bigger than life. Do you think, did she have that kind of sentiment as well?
You know, the best thing about Elizabeth Taylor was always that she was this star without any airs. You know, there was never any arrogance to her at all. And it was also such an authenticity. That's what's missing in so many of today's celebrities. You know, they show up at nightclubs or they pull these stunts simply because they know they're going to get the cameras there. They're going to get the tabloid attention. They're going to get on, you know, television for that. Whereas Elizabeth was living her life. Now, it was a life that was bigger than life in many ways, certainly
right.
bigger than most people live. But it was real. It was her real life. So you know, when she fell in love with those men, she genuinely fell in love with them. And there was,
right.
You know, certainly her publicist knew how to spin that to her advantage and how to keep her in the press. But there was really nothing, you know, there was nothing manipulative about her experiences.
Right.
Now, that's the one thing I always loved about her, when you think about her, is that she just always, like, she lives, like, out loud. You know what I mean? Like, she's never hid who she was, and, you know, and she brought her personal and public life together, and I think that's awesome. You know, made no apologies for who she is.
Right. She definitely lived out loud, and she also, you know, she never chased fame for fame's sake. You know, it was never, the spotlight wasn't enough. I mean, what she wanted were the diamonds and the yachts and the fur coats that came with fame. You know, that she admits that's what she loved about being a movie star. But to me, that's someone living out loud, someone living their life and having fun rather than kind of chasing fame for fame's sake.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And in your book, you mentioned how her handlers, pretty much her publicists and everything, would arrange certain things in her life, like the marriage to Nicky Hilton, for example. Wasn't that sort of like a manufactured thing?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, back in the 50s, the studios were still controlling the stars' lives, their personal lives, and Elizabeth was making a movie called Father of the Bride, in which she played a young woman getting married, and so MGM said, hey, wouldn't it be great if she, in real life, was getting married as well, and they hitched her up with Nicky Hilton, and then Elizabeth, you know, was young and innocent and full of romance, and thought, well, this is great, let's get married. It turned out to be a horrible marriage for her, and she left after 6 months, so... But she learned right then and there that, you know, how you can sell stardom. And she also learned to, perhaps she needed to be a little bit more independent of the studios and then kind of chart her own course next time, which she, of course, did.
Well, isn't it true? I mean, I don't know. I heard that as a young child, I mean, she was always, you know, producers, studios were always so intrigued by her because how beautiful she was. But, and like, she was this little starlet, but I heard something along the lines that they didn't think that she was very talented when she was young.
Well, yeah, when you're that beautiful, sometimes Hollywood says, well, you can't be talented, too,
well.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Elizabeth necessarily was the greatest actress Hollywood ever produced, but she certainly rose more to the occasion than many.
Right, absolutely.
You know, if you look at A Place in the Sun or Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, I mean, no one ever expected that beautiful little starlet from MGM could have pulled in a performance like that.
Right. No, that's what I think, though, is great, because even though they were telling her and they, you know, canceled contracts with her and things like that, she's still, I'm going to be a movie star, you know, and still changed Hollywood.
Yeah. Exactly. She certainly did change Hollywood. You know, she was the first star to get first female star to make $1 million a picture and get a percentage of the profits. I mean, she set up this new business way of doing business for Hollywood. And once the studios collapsed, she created this new Hollywood.
So she felt that she was strong enough, independent enough to really break out of the studio system and sort of like do things her way.
That's right. And every star who has come along since, every would-be icon, has tried to take a page from her playbook. And, you know, whether it's Britney or it's Madonna or it's Miley Cyrus, you know, they've all, you know, whether they quite know it or not, they're doing what Elizabeth Taylor has already done before them. And, you know, she charted the course. This is how you are a movie star in the contemporary world.
Right. Now, I mean, were you able to find out why it was that she married so many times? I mean, did she feel that she had to, you know, I mean, was this because she was naive and felt that every time she fell in love, she should be married? You know, because, I mean, most people don't marry that many times.
Yes, most people don't. Movie stars tend to marry a little more often than usual. And Elizabeth certainly, you know, being a movie star, you know, I think part of it was, you know, she started off as a child star. She always felt she never had a childhood. And she grew up with those MGM movies where they all stayed out happily and there's happily ever after and, you know, true love is found. And I think she was looking for that for much of her life. You know, well, you know, the first couple of marriages she went through, the studio kind of helped arrange. And then Mike Todd, who she thought she might love forever, died in a plane crash. So she was always looking for that happy ending. And, you know, I she didn't quite find it, but I think she definitely found her soulmate in Richard Burton. But of course, they were they really couldn't live with each other or without each other, as it turned out.
Right, right. I know they definitely captured the imagination during the 70s and in their movies and in their private lives as well. You also mentioned how Elizabeth Taylor is also committed to doing good, and can you? Can you concentrate on that for just a second and let us know that some of the things she's done?
Sure. I mean, Elizabeth was, again, she's taught us how to be a movie star in so many ways, and one of those is her charity endeavors. In the 1980s, when no one wanted to take on the cause of AIDS, she stood up and said, okay, listen, we need to do something here. Her good friend Rock Hudson had died, and she felt, you know, she had the star power and the clout to get people to pay attention and start looking at what could be done. Today, almost every star who's out there has their own particular cause, whether it be hunger or literacy or whatever. And while I'm not questioning their sincerity in doing that, I'm sure they're doing terrific work. For Elizabeth, it wasn't something that, you know, okay, this is what you do as a movie star. It was simply she felt it was time and she wanted to do it to help her friends. But again, she was setting the ground rules in terms of how to be a celebrity in today's culture.
Right. And I figured you probably know what's going on with her today. I mean, where is she? What is she doing?
Didn't she just have surgery?
Well, she just went in for surgery, for heart surgery. She has congestive heart failure, and she does not have diabetes, as some people have reported. She went into the hospital, and you know, she's always known, whether it be, Photoplay magazine or Twitter, which is she's now using Twitter to keep her fans informed. She's known how to stay connected to the public, and so she was Twittering right up until, she went into surgery and telling, the world, okay, please pray for me, that, I'm going for the operation, and then she tweeted it when she got out and said, things went really well. I feel like I have a new ticker. So, she's been down and out so many times, and she's always bounced back. My bets are she's going to be just fine this time, too.
I just read, yesterday or today, long day, that she was just with Michael Jackson's kids.
Recently, sure. I mean,
yeah,
that was the big thing.
In the theme park with them or something in Europe, I think, maybe.
Yeah, she loves children, first of all, and she loved Michael Jackson, and I think they both felt in many ways they had been deprived childhoods, and so they had that bond between them. They could be little kids together. I think that's what really brought them together.
Right, right. And you could see that when they were together. You know, there was a bond there for sure. Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, yeah, Elizabeth Taylor brought my engagement. No, my ex-fiancé proposed to me with her white diamonds perfume and had a diamond in there. Yeah, so she's part of my life. That didn't work out.
Sure, yeah.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Yeah, it is amazing how many people feel she's part of their life. They really, so many people have grown up with her, or my parents' generation remember her. We remember for it's just she's been such a part of the American fabric for so long.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And she's definitely a megastar. I think she's captured a lot of people's imagination. And how old is she now? Do you have any idea?
She's 77.
77. That's about what I thought. Yeah.
Well,
this is an amazing book. I mean, you definitely took a different angle on it, and I think people will learn a lot of new things about Elizabeth Taylor. The movie, the book is, well, maybe there will be a movie. How to Be a Movie Star, Elizabeth Taylor in Hollywood, and we're talking to William Mann. William, thank you so much, and congratulations on the book. We'll definitely look forward to seeing you here at Book Soup or wherever you're going to be signing.
Great. Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye now.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, for someone like myself who grew up wanting to be a movie star, you would see someone like Elizabeth Taylor. And I mean, I used to think that she was a little over the top, with all of her, the furs and the diamonds and the men and all that. But now as I've gotten older, I realize what I said to him, that she was just living the life, and doing exactly what she wanted to do. You know what I mean? And even though it might have been, a bit much for some, it was still who she was. And again, she was doing charity work and all that stuff. I remember when she started doing the AIDS stuff. And, that's for me is when I even gained more respect, for her.
Yeah,
but I read the Twitter though. She went for some new, it's a new surgery where they don't actually have to open you up or something. It did some sort of heart something or other.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's, I know, that was very informative. Some heart something or other.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool because not many of our big stars are still alive.
Right.
And she's still there.
I know. Speaking of age, who just turned 82 today?
No.
Who? Roger Moore?
Yes, I love Roger Moore.
That's who I grew up
on,
James Bond. They said today when I was driving here this morning, they're 82.
82.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm so old.
Yeah.
he was my
idol when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah. Before he was on James Bond, he was on The Saint.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you remember that.
I don't.
But he was in The Saint, and then he also had a series with Tony Curtis called The Persuaders. And Those were like, yeah, that was my time. You right. know, I was like 14, 15, you know.
Did they have TVs then?
Yes, they did. Black and white. Shut up. Okay?
Shut up.
But, so, yeah, so who was it? Oh, Roger Moore. In fact,
idol?
I remember I had like a life-size poster of him on my wall. Yeah.
I had Rob Lowe. And Ricky Schroeder.
Okay, well, we are different generations.
A little bit. But I know I loved Roger Moore. My dad, that's when I first saw 007. And I, you know, so it wasn't, what's his face?
Sean Connery.
He wasn't 007 to me or any of the other ones, but Roger Moore was it.
For most people, he's the real one.
Yeah,
but not for you.
No, Roger Moore. Come on. Wasn't he an Octopussy?
Yeah, he was.
He used to love saying that.
I know, what a name, right?
I know, why?
Yeah, I don't know. Sounded good.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the movies, they had Pussy Galore.
I remember, there's a song there, too. There's a song in Rent that uses that name, Pussy Galore.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was until I researched it.
So, but yeah, I mean, for me, he was a big star even before he became 007. So when he did, it was like, you know, the best thing ever for me. You know,
oh,
it's like my favorite actor becomes
007. That's awesome.
Yeah,
but it's like stars like that. I mean, I think that they're like just like old Hollywood actors, you know, that like really like brought such like a, I don't know, to Hollywood. You know what I mean? Like a come on, give me my word. Give me my word. Don't make me sound like an idiot.
A body of work?
No. Like a certain air to Hollywood. Like a real, like, old Hollywood, you know? Like the, a distinguished, like, for me, you know? And just like glamour. Glamour, that's the word. Thanks for no help.
Okay.
You brought, like,
not charisma or anything?
No, glamour. Okay, like, you know, glamour. Like, because Hollywood doesn't have that anymore, I don't think, you know? Yeah. Like, even like the Oscars, you know, the women, there was just a certain air about them, you know? And, and the men would, you know, in their tuxes. And I don't know. There was just like this beautiful Hollywood was just so glamorous to me, you know? And I wanted to be part of it. And then when I moved out here, I was like, oh, it's Hollywood Boulevard and there's stars and it's dirty and they just throw a red carpet on this cement. Like, there's nothing glamorous about it at all, you know? So, but I think that's what Elizabeth Taylor and celebrities like that did for me.
Yeah.
So, well, there's my story.
Okay. There's your story.
I'm sticking to it.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
I Your phone calls. Dial 323-203-0815 to get on the air. Now, once again, here are your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
Okay.
You know what you should get here?
Mm.
A coffee machine.
Really?
Yes. I'm out.
Oh, my God.
What do I do?
You have no coffee left?
No, I'm done.
What am I? What are you going to do?
What do I do?
Drink water.
I'm going to like take it out from under
all
the
right,
desk.
We'll get one just for you.
No.
Do you want an espresso machine?
Yes. Can I take it home with me, though? <I'm just kidding>. Basically, I'm asking, will you buy me an espresso machine? I'm kidding.
Bring your own, God damn
it. I have one at home. I just don't know how to use it. And I stopped going to Starbucks.
Bring it here. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think it's missing some pieces.
Really?
I think it's really what.
That's why it's not working.
I know, I'm a genius. Thanks for figuring
aren't
that out.
Aren't you, really?
Thanks for figuring that out.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about my aunt before.
Okay.
So she wrote me an email.
That's not the one who called us.
No, the one who called
that was she's married to your cousin.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's my aunt's daughter-in-law.
Right, okay.
So my aunt sends me an email, and it says... because she listens, and she's like, okay, because she's the one that said we talk about too much smut.
Uh-huh.
And so she wrote, and first it said, OMG. Okay, now I realize she's 65. Okay. And she writes, OMG, I am so embarrassed for you that you did not know the capital of Iran.
She said, that's what she took away out of everything.
Yeah, she's like, how can you embarrass us like that? And I'm like, us? Like, no one knows who you are. I embarrass myself. And I was like, but I got Bogota. Anyway. But then she wrote, she's like, I have to admit, I laughed so much listening to your show.
Really?
And it was great because here's a 65-year-old listening to us and just laughing away, you know? And I mean, she's a young 65, but still, like, you know, she's still somewhat conservative.
Yeah.
But, so she just wrote how she's listened to now like 3 shows because she finds us really funny and
wonderful.
Entertaining.
Yeah.
But it was so funny because it just opened up with like, OMG, I'm so embarrassed of you. I'm like, well, you know the capital.
What a great thing to hear.
Thanks. Well, it was just like when I got kicked off the reality show or like eliminated. She was like, I wasn't really supposed to talk about it very much. Like, I'm not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I told her, because she kept asking questions and I was like, fine, I'll tell you. And then she goes, you're worried about me telling people? I am so embarrassed that you got kicked off. I won't tell anybody. And I was like, thanks for the support. Love you too. It was really funny. So, but she knows because she's like little Miss like Israel supporter. Like, so I'm the one, she sends all the forwards about everything that's bad that's happening to Israelis and how we're such suffering people and all this stuff.
Yeah,
so of course
you
she
seem
knows.
Very interested.
Well, whenever it says something like Israel, I'm like, delete. Because I don't want political. I told you.
Yeah, you don't want to get into that.
Yeah. No, don't burst my bubble.
Okay.
Don't burst my peaceful bubble.
We won't do that.
Okay.
You ready for sharing?
Sure.
You ready to share?
I'm always sharing.
Okay.
I haven't heard the song all weekend, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
Okay.
The stage is yours.
Thank you. So today, on Sharing with Sherry, we're going to talk about living an inspired life.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yes. Well, there's several things. I was thinking about what do I want to talk about today, and I went through some of my, because I used to do a lot more writing than I do now.
Mm.
I think now that I talk so much, like actually writing stuff down just seems like overwhelming to me. So I went through like some of my old writings that were like really important to me, you know, that I used to post in my own blogs on MySpace, and I came across, you know, Richard Carlson. He's the author of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
Yes. Okay.
And so he passed away. I don't know if you knew that. And right before he died, he had written a letter to his wife that was called 1 Hour to Live, 1 Hour to Love. Mm-hmm. And he spoke in it about all the things that he would do if he had an hour to live. And he left it for his wife and everything. And she read it. And so she was on Oprah. That's where I saw it. Yeah. And it was just about all the things that are really important in life. And at the end of your life, like, are the things that are really important, like, you know, contacting your lawyer, figuring out your bank account, people that you owe money to. When people are on their deathbed, that's like really the last thing they think about. Yeah, they think about, like, was I kind enough? You know, mm-hmm. who did I tell the people that I love that I appreciated them enough? You know, all the things that you really should be grateful for. And, you know, was I generous enough? Like, you don't think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have been so generous, or maybe I shouldn't have been so kind. It's never that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's never about, you know, like, again, a bank account and what kind of job I had and all that stuff. And so it just got me thinking about wanting to share, like, just for us to, like, remember, you know, things that are really important to us and to live your dreams and stuff. And even when people think that living life is about money, honestly, I have to say that coming here every day, like, I've always talked about, like, how I want to share and I want to entertain people and be able to, you know, spread a positive message at the same time, you know. And if I go the rest of my life not, you know, having to work in the restaurants and not having, like, any big money attached to it, not that I don't want that, but I at least can say, you know, that every day I did something that I enjoyed,
right,
you know,
right.
Where there's, like, people out there that are constantly, like, chasing money and, you know, and,
yeah.
And I mean, and money does help and it's great and all, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's not always, I mean, I think the most fulfilling.
Yeah.
I mean, you can live right and you could shop right and you can have great cars and you can go on great trips. But if you don't have anyone to share it with, if you don't have, you know, if you're not doing something that you love, I think that's, you know.
That's a pit.
Yeah, it's the pits. And then, so today's poetry day.
Uh-huh.
There is, okay.
Yet another book.
I have lots of books. Nothing that you would ever read.
Well, that's why you're here.
Thank you. I'm going to introduce you to new stuff. And I'm reading fiction now because of you, more fiction. Started uh-huh. the Dan Brown book.
Yeah.
But this is Sharing with Sherry moment, so let's okay. stay on track.
Stay focused.
I love because I, like, have this 1 minute where I force you to listen to me, although, even though you tune me out. So this one is called The Dash. Some people have heard of it. I don't know. Have you heard of it?
No.
No, it's Making a Difference with Your Life, and it's a poem, and I'm going to read it because I think it pretty much speaks to how we should live our lives.
Okay.
I'm not a great poetry reader, but I'm going to try.
Okay.
Should I do it with an accent?
No, please don't.
How about with a French accent? That's Israeli Hebrew or whatever. Anyway, okay, it's called The Dash by Linda Ellis. Okay. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following date with tears, but he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth, and now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash?
Ah, yeah, I agree with that. That's pretty much what you said. You didn't even have to read it.
Come on, that was a great poem. But
it was a great poem.
But think about, like, I mean, I never thought about my life as the dash, and it's true. Like, you know, on your tombstone, like, where they have, like, your birth and, like, just, like, everything that's in between there,
yeah,
you know, and what's truly important. My best friend Heather gave me that book, and I think she lives her dash really well.
Really?
You know, like, just being really kind and really generous to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we were just, you know, more aware of that and the little things and things that are important, you know, we'd all get along a lot better and
be happier, you know? Yeah.
So I'm happy that part of my dash was spent with you.
Oh, wow. We should put you at top of the world. I mean, you really know how to live.
I really want to say I effing hate you, but I'm in such a pretty moment in my heart right now.
No, I was just giving you a compliment.
Oh, you were serious?
Yeah, I was.
On top of the world?
Yeah.
Aw.
Really, you have a lot to tell people.
Let's call the news.
To inspire.
Thank you, though.
Yeah.
No, I just feel like at this point in my life that I've come to realize, you know, what's important. And this morning when I was getting dressed, because, you know, we all know body issues, I was thinking about the dash, and I actually looked at myself and I said, do you want to spend any more of your dash, like, being obsessed and, like, unhappy with your body? Or are you just going to finally, like, let it go and just let it be what it is?
Right.
And I decided I'm going to be more still suspended upset. I'm just kidding. So, yeah.
Well, we got a phone call.
Sure.
Maybe it's related to sharing. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, it's Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
I hear that laugh in the background.
That's my aunt. Yeah. That says we speak too much smut.
This is the too much smut lady, but she's spreading false rumors.
What false rumor am I spreading?
I'm not 65.
Okay, well, I was trying. Okay, I didn't want to figure out in my brain. How old are you, Aunt Cheryl?
64.
Oh.
Well, I guess it does make a difference when
I
you get older.
I'm not on Medicaid yet. Medicare.
Shame on you, Cheryl.
Good morning.
You should know these things.
Sam, this is my Aunt Cheryl.
Okay. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Sam. I really, you know, the smut did get to me, but everything else overshadows that so much because you have such great chemistry together. You guys really do.
Thank you.
And I really enjoy listening.
Right. And look, I mean, we have portions of the show that are not appropriate for everyone, and, you know, you like some, you don't like some of it. But all in all, you know, I think we have a great show here, and I'm really grateful you sent Cheryl over to us.
My aunt sent me over.
I can deal with smut. If Sherry used someone else's name that it was happening to, I could deal with that.
I was just going to say, she's probably okay with it, except this is her niece.
I see.
But Aunt Cheryl...
Exactly, my virginal niece.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You already missed a show where I blamed you for having my first kiss, because remember when you said,
no,
I can't...
No, I listened when you were 11 years old.
Right, because you
kissing.
Were. Because you were.
I remember.
Okay. Because you're the one that made me into the whore that I am today.
Wow.
I'm
what
kidding.
A privilege.
But you see, I was a virgin when I got married, though.
Really?
Okay, is that what you told Uncle Barry? Is that what you told him? Is that what you told him? And you're sticking to that story?
No, I really was. I could wear my white wedding gown.
Proudly.
Proudly.
Well, I could still wear white proudly.
Well, I could. You have to understand, my sister was allowed to do whatever she wanted.
Oh, here we go. She said she wanted to call in the other day when they're talking about sisters. She's talking about my mom because they are the worst fighters
really?
Ever. That's where my sister and I learned it from.
Uh-huh.
My aunt and my mom.
No.
Yeah.
I was engaged and I was 20 years old, and my parents would say to me, you have work tomorrow. You'd be in this house at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in that house at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
I never gave my parents one bit of...
Just
what's the word?
A lot of nachas.
Nachas, yeah. I knew you were going to say that. I couldn't think of the word because I'd say it incorrectly. Nachas.
Nachas. No, I gave them nachas. I didn't give them one bit of...
A hard time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering, where the hell is she now?
Right.
I mean, they knew.
Yeah.
You know, they knew. But I just wanted a call to make sure that you knew I'm 64 and I'll be 65 in June. Because there may be some people listening who know me.
That's true. That's true.
So, you know, and they're going to think I'm such a liar.
Yeah. I know, you don't want to be a liar.
I don't want to be a liar.
I know,
yes, God forbid. Accent.
I know. Makes me
and
miss
I've
you
been
even
in
more.
Florida for over 30 years.
Yeah.
This is what it's like sitting around my family. They all talk like this, and it's amazing that I have a normal voice.
and the other reason I love listening is because I love hearing your voice, Sherry.
Oh.
Because we miss you so much.
I miss you,
so
too.
So much fun to be with.
She always said that. And my aunt was, like, always a huge supporter of me, and every time I come home, she said, you always bring such joy to the family. You make us laugh and everything. So,
my
mom... Go ahead.
Not only do I say that, but all my friends who have met you say the same thing.
Right.
Thank you.
And they just can't wait to hear my eulogy.
I write eulogies, by the way, Sam. I've read, like, every...
Really?
Go ahead.
She won't write mine, so I can hear it. I'm not going to be able to hear it, but she writes great, great eulogies.
I know.
Well, I've spoken at my grandparents' funeral, and I spoke at my old manager's funeral, and actually at my old manager's funeral, someone came up to me that writes for Hallmark and asked me, said that I should write.
Really?
Yeah, like eulogy cards or like, you know, condolence cards, and I was like, I don't know if I want to spend my life like writing sad stuff.
Yeah. You know what I always thought is people say the nicest thing about you when you're dead and you can't hear it anymore.
Well, that's why my aunt asked me to write. She's like, can you write my eulogy now and let me read it?
Yeah, because they're great, and I mean, I'm not going to be able to hear it when I'm in my coffin.
Exactly.
The coffin.
I mean, really.
Yeah, that's true.
And I want to know all the nice stuff and bad stuff she says about me.
I tell you
the
all the
real Jerry.
I tell you all the time how I feel. No, I know. It's sad because my mom moved away from Florida and stuff, so she's in Georgia, and so my aunts and my cousins are still in Florida, so it's not very often that, right, you know, I'd be able to get back there now.
I see.
No, unless I sent her a plane ticket.
Exactly my point.
There you go.
Exactly.
Oh, well, thank you for calling.
It was great talking to you guys.
You too, Cheryl.
And keep up the good work.
And we'll remember, everybody note that she's only 64.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have a good day.
Take care, sweetheart.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Aw.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, she sounds like a New York Jewish lady.
Oh, such a New York Jewish lady. Especially at restaurants. I love you. I love my family. It's funny because we all fight so much. Like I said, everyone
really
yells at each other and stuff. But at the end of the day, they're so amazing. Like,
yeah.
I love them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But for a few days.
Yeah. Jews do get pretty loud sometimes.
Oh my God,
you know?
Loud. Like I told you, like my friends would come over and they'd be like, why does your family fight all the time? And I'm like, we just yell.
Yeah, we're just talking.
We just talk really loudly. Yeah. We're not really arguing. They're like, no, you're arguing. I'm like, no, we're really not. Oh, that's sweet, though, that she's listening.
So anyway, back to the sharing and Sherry, with Sherry. I noticed that when you were here as a guest, you also mentioned sharing with Sherry. So this is like your videos, right?
Yeah, this is what I said, that I'm manifesting this a while ago, that my friend said, if you want to have your own talk show, you should just put it out there. And so we made that video, and I said, what should I call my show?
Yeah.
And I was like, sharing with Sherry.
Yeah. Got another phone call. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this? Is this Sherry's other aunt?
Hello, Sam and Sherry. I forgot to mention one thing.
Yes.
Yes, Sherry got her love of coming on faces from me.
That's your other aunt.
Shut up. Do not spread that.
Now I have to go back and tell everybody I'm 65, okay? Bye-bye then.
Really, right after my angels. Great timing. And Cheryl, it's all just for the show. It's a rumor.
Yeah. She hung up.
There's no she, nothing. Do not let her friends think that was her. She thought thinking that they were 65, that she was 65 was bad.
Yeah.
Like, she would never say that. You suck. And I swear, you turn into like this little kid, like giggling.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Well, what do you want me to do, you know? This woman calls in and talks about coming in your face.
Uh-huh, this woman. Yeah, whatever, like I'm a dumbass. Which has nothing to do with the one who made me my song. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, always ruin my sharing with Sherry moments.
I did not ruin it. Your aunt called.
I'm kidding.
Don't look at me. Okay, now... okay, so anything else with sharing and Cherry there? What about a positive story for the day?
I have one for you.
Yeah.
This young girl in whatever state it was. I'm not very good with my facts.
In Tehran.
But I know. Shut up. Where's that? Her baby, 1-month-old baby, started choking and turned blue. And she was this Hispanic girl, and she just started screaming in her apartment building. And this 17-year-old girl that took some CPR in high school, in her high school class, ran over and turned the baby over, smacked her back, gave her CPR at 17 years old, and saved her child's life.
Wow.
All because, you know, she took a class and paid attention in school and stuff, and now wants to go on to be a nurse and then a doctor, and had, like, no desire at all to do that.
Yeah.
And now, like, having that one moment in her life where she didn't think about anything except just, like, reacting and, you know, save this 1-month-old baby's life.
Yeah, so
17.
She saved a life, and now she wants to do that for
for the rest of her life.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, again, you don't hear about, like, strangers just helping one another out, or when you do, it's one of those things that's just, and like I've talked about before in the past, like, it's just in our human nature when put in situations like that to help one another out.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of cool, because 17 years old, like, who really takes on that responsibility?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you see someone choking, that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to then, but for her, like, not even to think about it and grab the child, you know, and then they interviewed her and they said, you know, she didn't even think that she even remembered, but it was like one of those moments where it all just kind of comes back to you.
Yeah.
And she knew the baby was choking, so she just turned over and started pounding her back.
Wow.
And stuff. So I thought that was really cool.
That's a cool story.
Yeah, and like, so little heroes like that don't get recognized.
Yeah.
You know? So here's to you.
Okay.
Here's
all right.
Whatever your name is.
Yo, it's time for sharing with Sherry. Sometimes it gets real scary when she's down on her knees looking to please. Then one time in a race, She gets cum splashed on her face. She likes it. Don't worry. Clean up, get outside in a hurry. Sharon with Sherry is the place to be. On her knees, come in her eyes and up her nose with a rubber hose. Hey. Sharon with Sherry is the way to go.
I don't know what to say anymore.
Well, I mean, just think about it. People are spending time writing songs for you.
Lucky me.
Yeah. And you don't even appreciate it.
I don't appreciate it. It just makes me think, God, I haven't had that in a while. Yes, thank you so much for my cum song. I'm very appreciative of it. I'm very grateful for it. Once again, it brought somebody else pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, you're terrible.
No. That's funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it is funny.
I know. You're telling me I don't appreciate it. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Oh, I know what he wants me to do. He really wants to show. He really wants me to show him some appreciation. Yeah. Tell him to come in here. We'll make a song together. Come on, my face. I'll start rapping back. Okay. The start of my beatbox. Is this a spit guard?
No.
Oh. Okay.
That's a pop stopper. No.
We're talking about the thing in front of the microphone.
Yeah. No, that's for popping, you know, so when we say the B's and the P's,
oh,
they don't like, yeah.
Because someone asked me, they're like, do you have that big thing in front of your mouth? And I said, what? And they're like, well, I was like, yeah. And they said, oh, it's a spit, whatever.
It's not a spit.
Oh, and I said, oh, no. I don't spit. I swallow. I said, I don't know why I need that there.
No, would you swallow just with the guy you just met? You would, right? No,
can you let me answer?
No, because you look like you have to think about it.
Oh, I did have to think about it, because it doesn't mean that I mean, I have in the past.
You have.
But I don't try to.
Yeah. Doesn't it gross you out? I mean, when you don't know the guy?
Well, yeah, that's why I don't generally do it.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, I have, but not. It's not a regular practice.
Right.
I mean, usually you could just spit it right back all over them. Yeah. And make them think you swallowed it. Yeah, I don't generally also allow it to go like that far when I first met them.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
You know, I don't, because once they're finished, then they're done.
Yeah.
And then I don't get any. So we don't allow it to go that far when you first meet.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So, you know, we go up to a certain point and then, you know, we continue with other stuff.
I see. And you coordinate all this while it's happening.
Yeah, I take out my plan book. From 9 to 9:15, I'm going to give you head. No, I'm
so you're into blowjobs and stuff. I mean, you like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you this.
I have to tell you how difficult this is, knowing that my aunt's listening right this moment.
Well, think about it.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, I love oral sex.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, my question was, the next one is, do you consider... some people don't consider oral sex or like a blowjob mm-hmm. to be sex. Do you consider it to be sex?
No.
No?
No.
Now, you see, I don't get that.
What do you mean?
It's totally fucking sex.
How is that sex? You're not putting a body part in another body part.
So what? Yes, you are. First of all, you're putting it in your mouth.
Uh-huh.
And there's also discharge that comes out. Okay.
That's the worst line ever.
Let me ask you this. Okay. If
what
in
does
a relationship,
sex mean?
Sex is everything you do with your genitals, I think.
See, I just always considered sex intercourse. That's what I was always just
taught.
You see,
that's what most people say.
Wait till you have marriage. So you're saying that you should not have oral sex until you're married?
That's the excuse that teenagers have today. It's like, because now in the schools, I mean, there's blowjobs all over the place. And I think they don't consider it sex.
I need to go back to school.
Yeah, you do.
Never,
yeah, I get reports from my son all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Honestly, I don't think it's an excuse. Like, I just always grew up like you can't sex. They just always considered sex with intercourse.
Yeah.
Like, that's how, don't have sex until you're married. Sex, you know, use protection. So that's how they relate the two of it. So I never thought oral sex was sex.
But it is. It's
I just
in
said
the name.
It. I know. I realized
it's
when
in
I just
the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll change my mind.
So
fine.
It is sex. No, but some people don't think. Like, Bill Clinton didn't think it was sex.
You know? Well, then Bill Clinton and I have a lot in common.
Yeah. No, but many people do. I just don't understand. I mean, because if you want to put it to the test, just while you're in a relationship, try and give a blowjob to someone else and see how your partner reacts.
Well, you shouldn't be doing anything. You should be... just shut up.
What?
That was like a dumb analogy. Is that an analogy?
No, it is.
Oh, like... No, that's like making out. You can't do anything when you're in another relationship.
Okay, that's what I mean. That has to do with sex.
Anything.
Anything.
You can't kiss. You can't do anything.
No,
so anything's going to be bad. What do you mean? Oh, okay.
You should be in a relationship if you have got to be with somebody else intimately.
But that's what I'm saying, though. So
you know, it's funny. The Buddhist yesterday, we had this conversation over coffee. Is that, yeah, he was wondering if I consider, well, he didn't use that, but if I would have oral sex without having sex, not asking him and I, you know, but just like the line. And I said that I thought that sex intercourse is worse than oral sex because you just grow up and you like, you hear about the union of bodies, you know what I mean? And entering inside your body. So that seems more, oh, he was asking if that, what I thought was more intimate.
I see. Okay.
And I think intercourse is more intimate than oral sex.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So you should have oral sex a lot.
Yeah.
And then hold off on the sex.
It's just funny when sometimes you think about it, what we actually do.
I know.
I mean, you take your penis and you insert it
in your mouth. And then if you're
or the vagina.
I know. Yeah. And then if you're me, you have your head held and someone fucks your mouth. That was for shock value, folks. Shock value. Yeah. Thank you. I'll be here all night.
That's the too much information segment for today.
That was the porn segment of Sherry talking. That was the Red Tube I watched yesterday. Oh my God, I watched like three yesterday.
You watched three Red Tubes?
Well,
three different times?
Well, really? It had been like a few days.
Wow.
So, you know, like you had build it up after
a
while.
So three times a day?
Well, not usually, just yesterday.
Just yesterday? Wow.
Yeah, because I built up over a few days. I've been so busy.
Here I am dealing with traffic. She's masturbating. No, it's life fair.
I've been at a standstill for a few days. You're in standstill traffic. I don't know.
No, what, but it's a real turnout, though, that sexual and stuff, you know?
Do married people still masturbate?
All the time. Well, I can't speak for everyone.
On your wife's face? Oops, crossing the line, sorry. Crossing the line.
Crazy. I would go crazy without it, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant without doing that to her. Do you get like jealous? Here's a good question. Do you get jealous like if or upset if your partner masturbates?
Not at all.
Like, and you're there though?
I encourage it.
Okay, if you're there and they don't do it in front of you.
Yeah.
You would get upset or no?
No, not at all.
Oh, because I used to.
Really?
Like if I was like with a guy and he would like masturbate, I'd be like, "Hello, I'm here."
Yeah.
Like, why are you masturbating?
But it's not the same thing.
Yeah, because it's quick and easy. And you can just get it over with.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But I'm quick and easy.
Yeah. But sometimes you don't want to have to deal with another person. You know, you just want to get it done quickly.
Doesn't sound
like
a guy I want to be with. I want him to always deal with me.
And I think it's a different kind of orgasm, too. Do you find that?
Yeah, because I know what I'm doing.
Exactly. You know, so that's what I'm saying.
But I like to think that I know what I'm doing for them. I do. You know, it's funny because I've been with men who say, oh, I don't really like oral sex or I can't get off from it. Yeah, I've turned many of those around.
Yeah.
You know what it is? I think a lot of men think the way women do, you know, does a woman, because you guys can't picture how a woman can like doing it so much that when they're actually down there, you think, is she really enjoying this? Mm. And so, like, I constantly have to be like, yes, I am.
Yeah.
I love it. You're so big. It's so good. More and more and more.
No, I mean, I can see how women enjoy it. I mean, it's a naughty thing, you know? It's,
Tell me more. You just gave me this look. Like,
yeah.
Were you embarrassed?
But no, I find that women sometimes wonder how men can go down there.
Oh, I wonder that. That's why I don't allow it. That's what I'm saying. I understand.
You don't allow it?
Well, I'm a little self-conscious.
Yeah.
Because I have that Niagara Falls problem.
That's every man's dream. What are you talking about?
No, it's not. Not when they come up looking like a glazed donut. I love you, Aunt Cheryl.
You just haven't been meeting the right guys.
No. They all tell me that they love it. Like, you know, they're like, this. Okay. I might as well just be forward.
You don't have to be.
No. Because this drives me crazy. It's funny because every guy's like, yeah. Because I'm like, no. I get really lubricated, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, it's Sherry, every girl says it. Every girl. It's fine. I love it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And then they go down there and they're like, whoa. And they don't say they dislike it, but they're just like, I mean.
So you become self-conscious if they mention something about it.
Well, it's been mentioned more than once, so I'm already self-conscious about it. So I already put it out there that, you know, this is the way that it is.
Yeah.
And I've got, you know, not the Atlantic Ocean. I've got the Sherry Ocean down there. my friend used to call it the puddle. And then I told my friend that, and he was like, try the ocean.
No, I mean, that's really hot, because think about it. I mean, it's the equivalent of a guy being really hard.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. But, you know, my other friend used to call me a sloppy mess.
You know what? It's better than a chick that just lies back there and doesn't feel anything.
Well, right. You know? And, I mean, the good thing is that I save on KY.
Yeah.
Because I've never had to use there it once in my life.
Neither have I.
Well, that's good. So you're with good women, too.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but you got to know what you're doing. You got to prepare the area.
I mean, okay. There's sort of... Wow. I was just about to tell something that I would never tell anybody in my life, and I'm not going to.
Good.
I just can't imagine. I can't believe where my brain goes sometimes, that I'm just like willing to share everything with the world.
I know. Because it's tempting, because you think you're sitting here and it's just you and me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not
let
like
me know.
People writing you from Switzerland.
Oh, there was a girl. And she wrote me a really nice email back, that she loved that I answered it on air, and that she's already feeling better.
Really?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
And more about porn.
Yeah.
But no, it was very cool. Yeah, she was really flattered that I responded to her and stuff, and she didn't even think that I read. It's funny. I've had like three people say, "You probably don't even read these. Like I'm some big celebrity, and I have like someone to like read my emails." And I have like a representative that answers all my stuff. But I guess it's cute because I guess when you're in Europe, you don't really know how this really is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That I go wait tables.
I know. But that's why many listeners love when we communicate with them, you know, and I love that. I really love it.
No, me too. And I think it's really important that I promised myself when I did something like this that I, like Elizabeth Taylor, like that she just lives the way she is and puts it out there, you know, without any errors or anything. And I'm not perfect. And my friend wrote that on one of my Facebook statuses because I was making a joke and it was something mean. And he was like, "Okay, Miss Love, Peace and Kindness." And I wrote back, "I'm still human." I was like, it's not that I walk around jolly. Yeah. Well, I do walk around jolly, but but I mean, you know,
you
still
have
thoughts.
Down moments
and
too.
You still have your thoughts and everything, but it's about what you do with them, you know? And so I wrote back, I said, "I am being peaceful and kind right now by not saying what I want to say to you." But no, I think it's really important that people see like all sides of you and, you know, and you know that we are human and, you know, all that stuff happens. So
we probably will be too big one day to answer all the emails.
Well, yeah, from your mouth to God's ears. I hope so. I mean, already I love that I walk in and there's water sitting for me. I feel like a small celebrity.
Do you really?
Yeah. It's too bad that it's you having to do it.
We'll have to start sending you a limo to bring you to work.
Oh, my God. Awesome idea.
Yeah, we would love that.
Well, next up is the coffee machine.
Coffee machine. Okay. Yeah. We'll figure something out.
Don't have to.
But you're going to clean it up, though. Okay? I don't have...
I'll go keep going to Starbucks.
Yeah. $7.
Okay, no. Cup. You can... I'll clean it, but we get a dishwasher.
Oh, my God, man. Talk about a princess.
Well, no one ever treats me like a princess, so I can ask for small things.
Oh, come on. I'm sure people
No. Like I said about dating like men that have no money, like it's really never been that important to me, and I realized... Wow, every time like I go out, I always feel bad about them spending money, so I usually spend my money half the time. And so when I had my friend out here that kind of likes me a lot, when he was out here, he took such good care of me. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never been treated like that, and it was so hard for me to just accept, like, someone to be like, no, let me, I got it. And I'm like, no, and it's such guilt, like, surrounding it that someone wanted to, like, take care of me.
Yeah.
So I'm not used to it.
Yeah.
I'm used to, like, being, you know, independent and doing all that. And But it was really
Well, maybe
nice.
You don't allow people to do that. You know?
Well, he forced me to.
Yeah.
So he was looking at me and he was like, no. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fine. I won't do it. But now I want it all the time. See, you already spoiled me.
Yeah,
I
there you go.
It. Well, I think about how hard that I work for like what I do. And just because you're a man, like you're working just as hard as I am. Like, why just because you're a man, like you're responsible to take care of a woman?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like that. Yeah.
No, but I really feel that way. And so, but you know, then you meet men who are raised that way and it makes them feel bad to not do it, you know?
Right.
So I have to learn to accept that.
Well, it is expected in society, I think. It's not just the way they were raised, you know? But
yeah.
I think if, you know what? I will bet you every woman, if she was taken out on a date and the guy did not pay, she would make a big deal out of it to her friends or whatever.
Well, I have. Well, the only time that I expect someone to pay is if they're the ones that are doing the inviting. My mom always told me that if he invites you, then he should pay. But if you're inviting, you know, or it's a mutual thing, then, you know, you either try to pay or you know, you go Dutch or whatever.
Right.
Thing,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And so, and I've always tried to stick with that. And even when they invite me, I still always pull my wallet out.
Yeah.
Because you should never expect that anybody's going to do anything for you.
Exactly.
You know, and it's always a pleasant surprise when they do.
Yeah.
Like I said, I work my ass off for my money. So I don't want to be like, oh, I'm a girl, so, you know, your money's any less important than mine is, you know?
Yeah, what about opening doors and stuff?
Oh, I love that. You should.
I'm sure.
You should.
And women shouldn't do it for
guys?
Yeah,
of course. I think as a human being, you should hold doors for other people. What? I do all the time.
I can't see a woman opening the door for a guy. I've never seen that.
Well, I mean, if you're in front of them. I could just stand there and be like, hello, the door. If I'm walking in front of you. But most, but gentlemen, like, yeah, when I'm walking in front of them, like, have stepped forward and pulled the door open, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, and the whole car thing, like, I really love the 50s, and I think the 50s were such a great era. I wasn't alive in them, but, like, you know, just, like, how cute it was. Like, if they touched you on the knee, that it was, like, getting fresh, you know, and then the necking. I love that whole innocent time. But I always think that I would be really awkward if I was sitting in a car and, like, you just kind of sit there and wait for them to come around and open the door. I can never do that. Yeah, like, that's a little weird. But what I do and I think you should do, is, like, if a guy opens a car door for you, you got to, like, lean over and unlock the door for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Do a little something. Do your part.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm really thinking. I'm thinking, if you're going to come on my face, you better buy me lots of things.
Yeah, there you go. And open a fucking 1,000 doors for me.
Someone told me my laugh sounds like I can't catch my breath. I said, okay, thanks. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, let's take another short break.
Okay.
What's so funny about that?
I don't know. It's always like, I don't know.
Okay, stay with us and we'll be back.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
I'm coming. get back
to Sam and Sherry in the Morning.
Sam and Sherry in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Okay.
Okay.
This thing is so abrupt.
That is, or you are.
No, it stopped.
Oh, I thought what you did. Stop it. Okay.
No. So I was thinking now, so you kissed the guy, okay?
I was changing the subject. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we won't ask you what the next step will be. You can sort of update us as it goes.
Do I want to report my step-by-step?
Yeah. Well, you know, the guys in your life are going to have to realize.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing him tonight.
Yeah, that their lives are not going to be private anymore.
I know, that's why I don't use names. But I honestly, we had a long talk about it, and him and I are such spiritual and in-depth people that you sometimes kind of over-talk things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And we're just over-talking where him and I are, instead of just being we're sitting here having coffee. You're attracted to me, I find you attractive, let's see. But instead it's well, I want this, and maybe this will go, and maybe, and where, and how, and all this stuff. And, uh-huh. You know, and sometimes it's just let it be.
Yeah, exactly.
But I have to tell you how different I feel this time around, mm-hmm. than when I normally go out with people. Usually I felt I have to hold on to them and such desperation. And right. Now it's I'm just having fun, and, you know, no offense to him, but right. You know, if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. There'll be somebody else.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that they're
let it flow, though.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. There's no, I don't feel the need to have to cling on.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek. Cling on. Oh, women are Klingons. Klinger on. Okay,
there's
I like
a
it.
Discovery.
I like it. Facebook. Stop being a Klingon. I used to be a Klingon. It's gonna be in my autobiography.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I would hold on for such dear life, you know, mm-hmm. and because of my own issues about, you know, my dad leaving my mom, and, you know, just people leaving out of your life, my ex cheating and taking, you know what
right,
I mean, all that
right.
stuff. And then you end up strangling somebody, you know.
Right. You really do.
Yeah. And spending time with this person and other people that I. So I don't want to say going out with other people, because then the person that's listening is oh, you're seeing other people. This is very difficult. Just dating in general.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels I'm just going with it. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Freeing, though.
You've got to.
It's
yes.
really freeing to not need
mm-hmm. to control everything.
Yeah, and not need to have anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so happy with where I am by myself
right.
and what I'm doing and where I'm going, that anybody else that wants to come along for the ride, let's have an adventure.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
I had a period like that in my life also,
yeah.
you know, when I just said, you know, the hell with it. You know, it's not happening.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
I'm just going to move on.
Yeah.
And whatever happens.
Well, I really liked what Reese had said the other day when the guest that was here, when he talked about dating's shoe shopping.
Yeah.
I really love that, because it's uh-huh. so true. I really used to try to squeeze my foot into every shoe and try to mold and manipulate a man to be exactly the way I wanted him to be.
Right.
You know, or who, you know, or not even what I wanted him to be, but I tried to change myself, manipulate myself to be who he wanted me to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Instead of just realizing, okay, this one doesn't fit, just put
yeah.
it back and get another one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I didn't.
And usually what you think they think is not true.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Because it's your own, it's your own thoughts that
yeah.
you're putting on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm becoming brilliant by the day. By the day. I'm going to be Gandhi at some point. Mother Teresa and God. All rolled in one.
All rolled in one. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, you know, I don't have high expectations for myself.
But that's going to be extremely positive. I don't know how I'll deal
and
with it.
I know. I annoy myself too. Don't worry. You have blue eyes.
Me?
Yes.
No, I don't.
Just kidding. Why did I think you had blue
yeah,
eyes?
Yeah, I'm looking at her. What's wrong with you?
Well, I don't know why I thought you had blue eyes.
Really?
Yeah, well, because I was just going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was in the bathroom, and I was mm-hmm. in the mirror, and my eyes get super red, and everybody always thinks I'm high. And so I realized that I think it's just people with blue eyes, and for some reason I thought about you. I was oh, I'll ask Sam if his eyes get really red all the time. But you don't have blue eyes,
don't. No, you don't.
I see
not
what I want to see.
Well,
we're all reflections of one another. God, you're hot.
Yeah. Still no blue eyes, though.
No blue eyes.
Yeah,
I read back their description of Friday's show. Sherry thinks about if she's an attention whore. I was really? Really?
That's what you mentioned.
I know.
You said it.
But you know how you always just choose one thing? I'm that's uh-huh. what he chose.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. It's one sentence. Sherry compares herself to other hosts.
Yeah. Well, good. So people will know. They'll want to listen.
I was trying to forget how insecure and needy I was that day. Please tell me I'm pretty. Please tell me I'm cute. Oh, you know something else? Buddhist tells me that, you know, we were talking about, like, what turns us on, like, just in general. And he was like, I love women, you know, like, you know, if you walk around the house, like, in a little mini skirt and this. And I was just thinking, I'm so not the girl for you. I walk around in scuba gear. Okay. And you know what's weird is that men are so oblivious to women's bodies, I think, because I've had men be like, how come you never wear skirts when you go out? And I'm thinking, have you not seen my body? Like, why would I show this off? And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't think they just get it. I think they just have, like, you guys have this imagination of what things really look
but
like.
But maybe some guys don't care. I mean, you know, to them it's like, you know, they don't see what you're seeing, you know? To them it's sexy.
I'm sorry, there's nothing sexy about elephant trunks hanging out from under a skirt. I mean, stumps. Kangles, not cute. Self-deprecating humor.
Yeah. I noticed.
Okay. I don't really hate myself.
Find some solace in that.
It makes me feel good to laugh at myself.
Yeah.
You know what happens is that you put it out that you're so bad, and that way, when they look at you, like, even if you might be bad, you're not as bad as you said you were. I told my friend that. I was like saying, I had to borrow money from a friend, and I was like, oh my God, like, it's so much. I'm so sorry. It's so much, because you build up, like, they're going to think it's this giant amount. So then when you actually ask for the amount, which is still kind of a lot, they're like, oh, that's not nearly what I expected. I'm like, whew.
Yeah, so you set them up.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah, that works.
You're listening to. I'm sorry, but thanks. No. Yeah.
But I mean, if you're so concerned with your body and stuff,
why don't you do something about
it? Yeah, I mean, are there things you can do?
I've done lots of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what about now?
I watch what I eat. Mm-hmm. I try not to eat bread or potatoes, like carbohydrates. Like, I was hiking all the time until I started this show.
Yeah.
But once the cool weather comes, like after I'm done here, I'll go. I just can't stand the heat in the middle of the afternoon. Yeah. Like, I don't like exercising in the heat, and fall and winter is my favorite time to be outside.
Right.
So.
No, I mean, hiking is cool, but it's not gonna really.
Oh, you're kidding me! I lost 65 pounds in 6 months.
Really?
Doing that alone, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, have you ever been up to Runyon Canyon?
No.
I mean, it's pretty steep, and, like,
really?
Your whole body changes. I mean, I got stomach muscles I never knew I had.
Really?
Yeah, like, your butt gets lifted and stuff because you're walking at an incline.
Right.
And I try to, like, beat my, you know, time all the time, but I have bad knees, and so after a while, like, my body's like, okay, stop, time to rest, you know?
Yeah.
And then I tried doing that boot camp for a minute with my friend who's a personal trainer, and my body was like, nope, not that either.
Not ready for that, huh?
No, there's, like, really nothing my body wants me to do except sit and eat. but like I said, I've taken off well over 100 pounds
that's amazing.
Over the years. Yeah, so, but your body just gets to a point also, like, where it's just kind of comfortable where it's at. Like, I mean, even according to doctors, like I said, like, all my blood work, my numbers are amazing. Like, I'm in better health than a lot of thin people,
right,
you know?
Right,
it doesn't mean that I still can't do more. Even when I was at my lowest weight, because I used to probably be like 20 pounds lighter than I am now, which is what I'm trying to get back to. Like, there was
I've noticed you got some pictures where you look really skinny. No?
Yeah.
I mean, on Facebook and stuff that I've seen.
Like, just headshots, yeah?
Yeah.
That's
No.
Yeah.
I don't remember. No, it is mostly headshots.
Yeah, I know, because I used to just, like, fake it. Well, no, and there was a big thing that I did. I put out this whole thing, okay, because after losing weight, you still kind of see yourself in your old body image, even after losing a lot of weight. Like, I remember walking past tables and thinking that I couldn't fit past them, or I couldn't fit in a seat, and I totally could, but you still have that image in your head. And I, even though other people didn't see me the same way, I did, and so I would only take pictures of my face because my face was always skinny when I would lose weight, and I just wasn't comfortable with my body yet. And then one day I was just like, Sherry, you've got to stop hiding. And so I took full body shots of me and I posted them, and it was like this huge step forward for me to, like, try to, like, accept myself and move forward. And there was even a picture of my ass on there in jeans and everything, but I got, like, the most amazing compliments. And even when I saw that and everyone was all accepting of me, in my head I was still like, well, you haven't seen me without my clothes on.
Yeah.
Like, I finally got into that stuff of, like, showing my body, you know, in clothes, and then I had to still, like, put myself down and be like, well, you haven't seen me without clothes.
Yeah.
You know, but
at what age did you become that heavy?
I was never this heavy at 7.
No,
but, I mean, I started
not
gaining.
Like you are now, but I mean the way, like, at your heaviest.
At my heaviest was probably in high school and college.
I mean, I started gaining weight at 7, after sexual abuse happened and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I slowly started putting on weight.
Yeah.
But my heaviest was in college, I'd say.
Wow.
Yeah. And then about...
That's a lot of pain to suppress. You know, I mean, to get that heavy.
Yeah, no? But not even realizing that, you know,
you
I
don't
was.
Realize, yeah,
well, I mean, like I said, I thought that I had dealt with, like, dealing with the whole, like, court and everything and putting the guy in jail and all that kind of stuff and mm-hmm. people thinking that I was, like, this, you know, brave girl and putting, you know, and telling on him and doing the right thing. You know, I thought that I had dealt with it, you know. I went to a therapist for, like, a second and thought that I had dealt with it, but I was obviously, like, all in denial and just feeding it with food,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I've gotten used to, and now that I don't need to feed like those emotions, I think there's something else like there that has, you know, it's like getting used to the way like people have been treating me like ever mm-hmm. since, you know, I went up and down in weight. I mean, in sixth grade, I lost like a ton of weight and it's always just been amazing to me how differently you get treated,
mm.
you know, with just because I've been on both sides, you know,
I've especially been in high school. I mean, kids are mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even in junior high, like I used to walk by and this kid used to make like these, you know, like earthquake sounds.
Oh, really?
He'd be like, boom, boom, boom.
That's like, terrible.
Awful.
Dude.
But he was like this redhead kid with freckles and everybody made fun of him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, and so I would never say anything back. I would just like, you know, keep it all inside. And I was always the funny, outgoing girl, you know, like the clown and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but I think, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm moving forward, though. Like, I really feel it. But it takes, you know, he said to me, Buddha said to me, he's like, you got to get over it. And I looked at him and I said, it's been 35 years like this. Like, as much as you accept me and I love that you are, I was like, it's not going to happen overnight,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
If you're here for the ride and the journey, then by all means, join. Mm-hmm. I was like, but if, you know, there's going to be pressure for me to get over it. And I told him, I said, I understand how unattractive it is.
Mm-hmm.
I understand how unattractive non-confidence is. I know it. I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to be around a guy that's not confident, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but I am confident with who I am as a person.
Yeah.
I am confident that I will make the most amazing wife, lover, everything, you know. Like, I'm confident in just there's one thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's the body thing. And if we can turn the lights off, you're going to have the best sex of your life. You know? I mean,
yeah.
Nobody can be perfect,
no.
You know.
Yeah,
I'm going to treat you well, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to have all these great things. But, you know, maybe you'll have to look at porn while you have sex with me. But, you know, have you ever been to Sedona?
No.
Have you heard of it?
In Arizona?
Yeah, but
no.
Like what it's supposed to do?
No.
No. That's a
make you lose weight?
No, it's supposed to be the most spiritual place in the whole country. Not in the world, like, because, you know, you have places like Nepal and Thailand and all that kind of stuff. But
right.
It has vortexes.
Mm-hmm.
And this crazy stuff happens to you. And I had heard about it. And one day I broke down. Like, I had suppressed all this abuse and stuff, like, for many, many years. And last year sometime I was just, like, taking a shower. And all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere, a flashback came back, even though I've thought about it, and I, like, broke down.
Wow.
Like, I was getting ready to go to work, and I started crying, da-da-da, and I, driving to work, and I just had to pull over to the side of the road, and I had to call my manager, and I was like, I can't come into work. And the few months before that, I was thinking about going to Sedona, because it's supposed to be a really healing place for you,
mm-hmm.
For all different types of things. And I went home, and I was just going to sleep in bed, and I just got on my computer, and there was, like, 5 pop-ups about Sedona.
Wow.
And so I read signs, and
yeah.
I take everything as signs, and I said, all right, I'm going. And I literally, like, found a motel,
mm-hmm.
like, online. I got in my car, filled up, called my manager, said, I'm not going to be back for 2 days. She was like, take the time you need, and I took myself to Sedona.
Really?
And the story will have to continue at some point, but the most amazing, like, that was another step in my, like, I don't want to say recovery, I'm like, but I mean, in my path and stuff and things, like, the most crazy things. I mean, I confronted my 7-year-old self. Like, I saw her sitting on
really?
Top of a mountaintop with me. Yeah, I had this whole conversation with her and, like, letting her go. Like, it was just this really healing. You feel there's, like, masculine vortexes and feminine vortexes, and there's all these different, like, ones that you can go to, and you literally walk into some of them and you just feel the energy around you. I mean, I saw, like, yellow spots, and I went there and, like, I was open to it, but at the same time, I'm like, sure, like, this is going to happen to me, you know?
Yeah.
But some crazy stuff happens, and when you least expect it to. And, I was at that point, I finally, like, let her go, like, the injured and hurt girl and stuff, and realized that I had to stop protecting her, because that's what I was doing. Like, I had the 7-year-old inside myself. And so I was feeding all this food to kind of keep, like, a bubble around her inside, like, to keep
right.
her safe, you
right,
know?
Right.
And I didn't know any of this until I was up there. And then I realized I had to let her go. Like, it was really corny, but I cried. I said goodbye to her. Like, I actually saw her sitting there in her camp clothes. I went to camp when I was a young girl, and I had the high knee-high socks and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it freaked me out, because I just turned the corner, and, like, I know it sounds crazy and kooky, but she was sitting there. I was sitting there and I had this conversation with her. I let her go. And then I realized now where I'm at is now I've got to nurture the adult who was so used to taking care of somebody else, like the 7-year-old. Like now I've got to deal with the adult, Sherry,
right.
And take care of me now as opposed to taking care of other people.
Right. Right.
You know, and that's where I'm at now. I also almost lost my life there. I went on some path that beginner hikers are not supposed to go. I ended up on the side of a mountain standing over a cliff trying to find my way out. I got lost for 7 hours. I had this much water left. Like the most craziest things happened to me. I realized when I saved my own life that I can really do anything.
Yeah.
Like it was just the most amazing experience over there.
Yeah. I know. But you know what I heard once that really stayed with me is the walls you build around you as a kid to protect you become your prison.
Right.
When you become an adult, you know, because you don't need those walls anymore.
Right. Right.
You know.
No, and that's exactly what happened. And that's what I realized is that
so
I
had to break down the walls.
Yeah. And but then what happens is that then you're left with just like your vulnerable self. Like, okay, so there's no one you're protecting anymore. Like, you know, I was constantly like keeping people at bay and stuff by, you know, by the weight and by not trusting people, I guess, you know, and I didn't realize that I was doing that. But then you get rid of those walls, which I have, but then you're just left like exposed almost.
Yeah.
And it's about trusting yourself more than anything. It's not about trusting other people because you can always do that, but it's about trusting yourself that when you give of yourself and give so openly that if it doesn't work out your way, you have to trust that you're still going to be okay and you're not going to be knocked down from it. And that's where I'm at now. Like, that's what this dating thing is doing for me more than anything is realizing that no matter what happens, no matter where this goes, I'm going to be okay. Your opinion of me is awesome, but it's your business.
Yeah.
It's not mine.
That's true.
And that is such a freeing place to be in. You know, being naked, that's going to take time to get over, you know.
Yeah,
but I think loving myself more and trusting myself more is going to work on that in its own time, you know. And I'm not punishing myself for being where I'm at. You know, I'm just accepting it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's important.
And if there's a guy that loves me enough, he's going to be patient with me.
Yeah.
You know, just like I would be with his issues.
That's
you know,
true.
As long as we're open about it and talk about it.
Yeah.
And if he loves oral sex, he's going to get the best head of his life.
There you go. That in itself will keep him coming back for more.
That's what I say. That's why I worked at perfecting it.
Okay.
When you're fat, you have to be really good at sex.
Yeah.
And I meant fat years ago.
Oh, well, you had to end on that note,
didn't
you?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Go from a serious to come on the face again. But
won't that keep the listeners coming back for more?
Stay true to your real self.
Yeah.
All right. Sherry, it's that time again.
Yes. It's nice.
I know you still want to talk for another 2 hours.
Shut up. I'm still thinking about you saying the top of the world comment. That was really nice.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Did you mean it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Little trickle down.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be right here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Sherry in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question or comment for the show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Sherry in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.